Good morning, everyone. Glad to see everyone here this morning. It is a beautiful day outside, and we're thankful to be able to be together to worship God as we gather and encourage one another. Hopefully you've received some encouragement this morning already, and hopefully there's more to come. And so I encourage, if you're visiting with us this morning, stay afterward and let us get to know you a little bit, and say hi and thank you for being here. Well, we are continuing our series, Walking with Christ. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're actually at the end of chapter 6 this morning. But before we begin, I want to tell a little story. I want to take us back to the year of 1934, and this story actually takes place right here in Oklahoma. Just actually about 40 miles southeast of right here in Tulsa, in Muskogee, Oklahoma. 1934 was a tough year. You know, this was a time of hardship, of severe economic depression, and uncertainty in all of the United States. People were anxious, and they were worried. Well, there was a man named B.B. McKinney, who wrote a hymn in response to a lot of this anxiousness that was happening around him in his church congregation. And it was actually during a revival meeting that was happening right there in Muskogee, Oklahoma. The hymn was called Have Faith in God. It's not one that's known to us very well. It's not one that we sing. It's not in our hymnals. But this was a hymn that he wrote that was filled with assurance and hope during times of uncertainty. And he wanted to encourage people. This hymn, it inspired faith and trust in God. And no matter what, we know that God rules his creation. He reigns upon his throne. And I want us to read the lyrics of this hymn together this morning, just to see the kind of words that he put to worry and faith during times of anxiousness. He writes this. He says, "Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. Have faith in God. Have faith in God." And then we get to the refrain, the chorus, where he says, "Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God." You know, this hymn, it was written during a time of great depression, and it's a commentary on the Great Sermon. And we're going to read a little bit of that here in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Now, prior to this passage that we're going to read this morning, Jesus was encouraging us to store up our treasures in heaven and not on earth. And we talked about that last week. He's encouraged us to remember that money and the things of this world, they cannot be our priorities. They cannot be the things that we focus on because they are temporary. They're not eternal things. And he goes on to this next passage here this morning to tell us not to worry. And I'm calling today's sermon, Worry Not. It sounds simple. This is the way that many of the ancient writers would say it. They'd say things like, "Fear not." Well, here I'm saying, let's worry not. And so let's read our passage this morning as we close out Matthew chapter 6. So if you'll turn to Matthew 6, we're going to read 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus continues on in his sermon and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, the truth is that anxiety and worry are paralyzing emotions that we all feel. It's easy to say, worry not, isn't it? It's easy to say, let's not be anxious. Don't worry about that thing that you're dealing with. Don't worry about your troubles. It's easy to say that, but we have a hard time actually doing it. You know, worry robs us of our joy. It robs us of the peace that we have. Anxiety can even rob us of sleep and a number of other things. In this next section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, we can read Jesus' spiritual prescription for worry. This is a real illness, because really, worry is only a symptom of a greater disease. At the core of worry and anxiousness is a heart that has very little faith. Jesus wants to give the hearer of this passage here this morning, he wants to give us the antidote. So in this passage this morning, I want us to see and highlight a few things here. I found five areas that God says, I am actively taking care of you. And I want us to see that this morning, where we don't need to worry. And the first one is that God is going to take care of our food. He will take care of our food. You know, Jesus begins here in this passage. He says, do not be anxious. This is a calling for a constant and a continuous action in Jesus, telling us to stop worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, worrying about your body, what you will wear. Jesus gets his hearers thinking about this by raising this rhetorical question in this passage. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know, I have to stop and say, aren't these the very things that we worry about in this life? Isn't this what we worry about? About the basic foundations for not being an impoverished person. Food, clothing, shelter, these are the basics of life. If you have access to these things, you're probably doing okay. Yet these are the things that we worry about, the things that Jesus is telling us to not worry about. And so he uses an example here in this passage to talk about the birds of the air to get us to think about this. He says that the birds, look at them, they don't sow, they don't reap or gather up and store up into barns. God takes care of the birds. Food is a wonderful servant to sustain life, but it's a terrible master. And Jesus told us in verse 11 to ask the Father for our daily bread. In his example of how to pray, he says to give us this day our daily bread. Well, there's a simple but memorable poem entitled Overheard in an Orchard. And it actually comes from Matthew 6. The writer wrote this, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. This poem is taken directly from Matthew 6, telling the reader that the birds don't think, if we are anxious about what we have, the birds don't even think that we have a heavenly Father. But the truth is that we do, right? They're taken care of, so surely we will also be taken care of. And that's Jesus' point in this part of the passage. We have no need to be worried about our source of food. Well, second, it says that God will take care of our lives. Jesus goes on to reflect in this passage that we don't need to worry about our lives. He asks, he says, if we can add any hour to our life by worrying, can we do that? Once again, with this rhetorical question, the answer is obvious. He says, no, worrying about your life is pointless. It's fruitless. It's foolish. We cannot add a time to our lifespan by worrying about it. Worry actually will harm our lives. It actually may take time from us on the earth. Worrying can produce health issues. Stress and worry can cause wrinkles and gray hair. It actually can cause hair to fall out. You guys are probably saying, Mike, what are you worried about? Just look at your hair, right? We can get ulcers in our stomachs from worry. Headaches and heart problems from worry. You know, physically, worry can actually harm our bodies. But theologically, we know that God is in control. He controls our lives. Our lives are in His hands. And so we don't need to worry. And if you have questions about my worry, I could tell you later. But I'm actually doing okay. So God has mapped out our lives from beginning to end, and He knows what's going to happen to us. He knows who we are. He knows what we need. He loves and cares about us. He's going to be sure to give us everything that we need to fulfill His purpose and His will in our lives. So let's look at the third thing that this passage talks about. You know, we don't need to worry because God will take care of our clothing. You know, Americans, we are clothing and fashion conscious. The United States apparel industry today is about $12 billion. A $12 billion business. The average American family will spend about $1,700 on clothing annually. Some of you are probably thinking, wow, that's a low number. I know people in my family that spend more than that. But while that is only about 3.5% of a family's expenses, think about the point. What is significant is whether that money is spent on a need or a want. You know, the situation in a first century Jewish situation for these ancient Jews living in Israel, it was different, much different. There was very little money to waste. Like the majority of the world's population today, people owned little more than what was on their backs. People in places like South Sudan today, they own just one or two sets of clothes and maybe a pair of sandals, and that's it. And yet we worry about our clothing. Here Jesus, He spends a moment to address this issue. And He says, why worry about your clothes? In this instance, He goes away from the birds, which could have continued in this real life example. He could have talked about the birds who are adorned in these feathers. They're beautiful. They don't worry about clothing. But He doesn't. He moves on to the lilies. He talks about flowers of the field. They grow. These flowers are beautiful, and they grow. And then He talks about Solomon and compares Solomon to these flowers. It seems like a weird thing to break off of and talk about. But He talks about Solomon because Solomon is someone who asked for wisdom, and yet he was given what? He was given so much more. He was given wealth. He was given kingdoms. He was given what he requested and so much more. Well, Jesus is saying, what if we were to seek the kingdom of heaven like Solomon did? Then we too will be taken care of, much like Solomon and much like those flowers, those lilies out in the field. Well, the fourth thing that this passage addresses is it just says that God will take care of our needs, whatever they are. Worrying never solved a problem. You know, I can worry about something and the problem is still there. But worrying has never solved that. It's never dried a tear, never lifted a burden. It's never removed an obstacle out in front of me. It never made bad things good or good things better. Jesus knows that. He knows that more than anybody who ever lived. And so once again, Jesus is direct and to the point. He says, so do not be anxious. Don't worry. Don't worry about these things like food and water and clothing and shelter. The worry puts you again in the camp of an unbeliever or as Jesus says it, the Gentiles. Here again, like other previous lessons that he's teaching, he brings up the Gentiles again. Why is that? Because he doesn't think very highly of the Gentiles? No, if you recall, when we talk about the Gentiles, he's pointing to someone that those Jews didn't care too much about. And they didn't want to be Gentiles. And so he brings them up just to kind of dig at them and say, do you want to be like the Gentiles? Well, keep worrying. Keep being anxious then. But here, he's just trying to get them to understand that, are the Gentiles going to be saved? Well, later he makes that possible in his death and resurrection. But to this first century Jew, being called a Gentile is being put in a category that they don't want to be in. It's like being called a pagan, an unbeliever. It's like you're following after the idols, and they didn't want to do that. So think for a moment about how foolish worry can be. It kind of borders on the absurd. These false gods that the Gentiles follow, they can't talk. They can't hear or see. They don't do anything. They're deaf, mute, blind. They're impotent. And Jesus tells these people, these Jews, a simple and comforting truth. He says what? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows. Don't we all need this reminder daily of this wonderful truth? That God knows what we need? Jesus knows. My heavenly Father knows. He's not ignorant. He's not indifferent. It's not that he doesn't care. He doesn't ignore us. He knows. And he sees us. And he cares. In Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's comforting. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that God knows and he's going to supply every need that we have. Well, the fifth thing that I wanted to bring up about worry, the things that are being taken care of by God, why we don't need to worry, is that God will take care of our future. So if God knows what we need in the present, he knows what we needed in the past, then he knows what we need. He knows what drink we need, what clothing we need, what shelter we need. He knows about the spiritual needs that we have, our friends that we need, what family we need. Won't he also take care of our future? Jesus goes on to tell us what to seek, right? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek God's rule and his reign above all of other things in your life. Seek his righteousness. Remember in the Beatitudes when we talked about those in the beginning of this series, if we worry about food and drink, we lack this faith in God. But if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, all these things will be added for you. Do this. Life, drink, food, clothes, it will all be provided. When you seek God's kingdom as your ultimate passion and priority in your life, he works for you and provides all your needs. The cure for worry is found in words like this, first things first. Stop worrying and start seeking the first things. Stop worrying about the little kingdoms that we're building here on earth and seek the kingdom of heaven, God's great big kingdom. The God who took care of our greatest need on the cross can certainly be trusted to take care of anything else that we face daily in this life. He has secured our eternity. He will see you through today. He's already thought about tomorrow. He knows what's coming. You know, many of us, we do have needs and we do worry. And it seems trite to say, don't worry. We're going to go out of this building and worry about something, right? We worry. Many of us have needs that we worry about. We worry about the home that was damaged from the winds from the recent storms. We worry about crime and how it might affect us and our family. We worry about our children, whether they're going to be successful, whether they'll choose a good husband or a good wife. We worry about the college that they might get into. We worry about our children's grades and their future career. We worry about their salvation. We worry about the bills that we have to pay. Things for, like food and clothing and shelter, our mortgage. We worry about our jobs, whether they're going to be able to pay the bills that we have, or even if we're going to have one tomorrow, especially during things like pandemics or just a poor economy. We worry about things like having to move or relocate, about getting our lives in order for the future. We worry about death. We worry about leaving behind family or friends. We worry about our own legacy. What kind of person will people remember me as? Jesus tells us not to be anxious. And why? Why does he say that? Because we don't have worrisome things? No. He knows that those things are worrisome. He knows they are. He understands it. He cares about that. What he's trying to tell us is that this God of the universe that we know and that we love, he has taken care of us so far. He's going to take care of those things too. So what is our goal? It's to trust him. Seek his kingdom first. Have faith in God. Seek his kingdom. Pursue those things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue the kind of life that people will stand at your funeral and say, that was a man or woman of God. They cared about Jesus and his kingdom. Well, in our invitation this morning, I want to just say, maybe that's difficult. Maybe you're in a time right now where that's too hard. I have too many things that I have to worry about. I do have family members that are walking away from Jesus. I do have many, many bills that I have to pay. I do have an unstable job where I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay those bills next week. I worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. I worry about my friends. These are all things that we worry about. We struggle with those things. Let me remind us, God understands. You know, we serve a God who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands. And so my invitation this morning and the challenge is, what do you worry about that maybe you shouldn't worry about so much? What can you get off of those shoulders and say, you know what? I'm going to let God deal with that worry this morning. Well, we want to pray with you. And so if you have something that we can help pray over you, a worry that you have or a situation in your life that needs to be lifted up to God, he hears you. And we want to pray for those things. And so that's the invitation this morning. Any need that you might have this morning, we're going to sing this song of invitation. That is your opportunity to come forward and let us know. But it's not the only opportunity. If that is something you need prayers for and you don't come forward for that, come find us afterward. So if you have a need this morning, let's stand and sing and let's pray for those things.